the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name's Dan Latto. And so in this podcast, just something I was thinking about was, I was thinking about money again. I spend a lot of my time thinking about money, and I spend a lot of my time thinking about how to make more of it and how to spend less of it and how to invest that gap that's in the middle. Okay, so we go back to those three rules. You know, the three rules are cut your costs, spend as little money as you can. Number two is generate more cash. And then number three is invest the rest. So I spend a lot of my time thinking about that. And I think about people as well. And I think about, and I get frustrated with, people who don't do any of that. Okay, so they don't know how much money you spend. So like, if you're listening to this right now and you've not got a spreadsheet, then you're one of those people right now that infuriate me. What are you doing? Get your bloody spreadsheet in place. Get it. Go get it. Create it. Get a list of all your direct debits, all your expenditure, put it on a spreadsheet in date order so you can see on which day what money's coming in, what money's going out, okay? Then get a list of all the things that you're probably going to spend this month, right? So I'm recording this, I think it's the 2nd of July. What are you going to spend this month? So £200 in petrol, great. How many times a month do you fill up? Well, I fill up once a week, 50 quid, perfect. £50 a week, put it in on the 7th, the 14th, the 21st and the 28th of the month. Great, so now we know you've got a £200 budget. Brilliant. What else do you do? Well, I spend £50 a week on food. Brilliant. £50 on the 7th, £50 on the 14th, £50 on the 21st. Doesn't have to be those dates. Whatever suits you, okay? And then, you know, do you go out and do you go shopping? Do you go to Asda and Waitrose and Sainsbury's? Because if you're doing that, stop doing that and get yourself online and just order online. Because when you're out, the supermarkets are very clever and they're trained to get you to spend money on stuff you don't need, okay? Especially when you're hungry. Whereas if you've got a set list of things that you buy every week, week in, week out, you can just press order again and it comes straight to your door. You're not going to be overspending any sort of impulse purchases, especially when you're hungry, okay? But look, you've got to have a plan. So let's say, even if it's only, well, you know, I've cut my costs, I'm not making any extra income other than my job, that's fine. How much money are you saving each month? Well, it's 20 quid. Okay, perfect. That's a great start. It's, listen to the language, it's a start. It's not the end. And I see people go, oh, there's no point. I spend more than I earn. Well, first of all, why are you doing that? Stop doing that. Where do you think that's going to lead you in the next 10 or 20 years? Do you think that's going to make you wealthy? Do you think it's going to make you happy? Or do you think it's just going to make you really fed up and pissed off? Of course it's going to make you fed up and pissed off because you're going to have even less money in 10 or 20 years. People go, oh, it doesn't matter. When I get some money, then I'll do it. Look, if you get any money at all, okay, then now is the time that you start managing that money. I do it to my kids now. Pocket money is a strange one for me. It's just strange, okay? I'm a separated dad. I fly back every 2 weeks to go see the kids. The kids are 12 and 9 now. And now they get £20 each every 2 weeks. And I know you're thinking, oh my gosh, that's a lot of pocket money. But actually, that pocket money covers their clothing allowance, okay? It covers any sweets that they might want, any gadgets that they want, any games or toys. You know, obviously we top up with games and toys and educational stuff and that sort of thing. And things like pants and socks we give them. But if they want to go spend money on a top, and really nice top from Zara, let's say, and it's 20 quid, perfect. That's up to them. That's that money spent up for that week. It means I can't buy sweets, I can't buy gadgets. We've just moved into a new house. They've each got their own room now, really, really big rooms at the top of the house. It's really nice, right? So they need some extra furniture in there because the rooms are a lot bigger and they used to share a room. So they need like a desk. So now we're on eBay and we're looking at desks and we're looking at second-hand desks. And guess who's paying for it? It's not me. They have to learn about money. And the only way that they can learn about money is by me giving them some and allowing them and teaching them how to spend that money. The price is a problem. No one's ever been taught that. Now, whether you think 20 quid a week, every 2 weeks, by the way, is too much for a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old to manage, or whether you think, oh my gosh, that's hardly anything. How do they buy clothes? I get that, right? I don't know where the line should be. So if you want to let me know how you do it with your kids, that would be great for me, because I have no idea. I'm making stuff up as I go along with my kids, right? As most parents do. If you haven't got kids, it's easy. As soon as you get kids, it's really hard. So I'm making it up as we go along as well, but I also want to teach them about money. And people go, well, when I get some money, then I'll learn to manage it. Look, my kids are managing £20. It's not a lot, but I've got to manage sweets, toys, games, gadgets, clothing, and anything else that we want. We went to the pound shop, and Isabel bought a pound's worth of pencils, a tin to keep the pencils in, and a pound's worth of pens, and then another pound on paper. And before you know it, she spent £4. And then she saw a top for £20, and she's like, I've spent four. Can I borrow £4 from next week? And we used to do this. We used to say yes. We used to charge them 20%. So that £4, we'd get them to sit down with a pen and paper. We'd get them to work out the 20%. It's £4.80, right? Even I can do that these days. So that's how much money would be taken from the following. But this is the problem. This is what I discovered. It's that actually, they would just keep on taking from the next one, because 20% didn't put them off. So we've actually stopped them doing it now. We stopped them from borrowing any money at all. 20%, that's credit card rates, right? I'm like, I need to put my rates up for my kids. It needs to be like 100% or 50% at the very least, because 20% just doesn't even bother them. Now, fast forward 10 years, getting credit cards at 20%, that's not going to bother them either. I've got to somehow teach them, give them pain to stop them borrowing money, okay? And like, at this point, it's been an interesting experiment, but now we've put our foot down. Can I borrow next week? No, you spent up. You need to plan ahead better. And that's what we do. And it's really harsh. And I feel like I'm a really harsh dad with it. I feel like, you know, world's worst dad when we do it. But I know that in order to get the result that we want with the kids, then this is something that we have to do. And, you know, being a parent, I say this to a lot of people, and especially for dads. Mums get a lot of support. And by the way, if you're a mum listening to this and you feel you're not getting support, then you have my sympathies as well. But dads get no support, okay? Nobody comes, we don't have social workers when the baby's born, and the social worker comes up. I mean, they do come up to us and we go, how are you doing? And you go, I'm doing great. Even though you might be falling apart at the seams, right? You say, oh, I'm doing great. And the maternity woman. What do they call it? The midwife. She comes around. Not midwife, is it? Anyway, whoever it is, the social worker comes around. They ask the dad, yeah, I'm fine. And then that's it. All focus on the mum. And then mum can go to the doctors, and they have the checkups with the kids all the time. Mum gets lots. Dads get nothing, right? And when dads get older with their kids, they get nothing either. So I make a really good point of going up to guys who I see handling their kids really well. And I just said, you know, you're an amazing dad. Oh my gosh, if you've never done that, go do it. And if, by the way, if you've never had that as a dad, go try it to other people and just watch their face light up. Because as parents, this is what we do. We spend all our time trying to do the right thing. And we do really well. I mean, I've done like 180,000 miles so far in under 3 years. That's 8 times around the moon, around the world, folks. It's more than 2/3 of the way to the moon, okay? I've done all this, invested all this money, invested all this time on flying back. And then what happens is you yell at your kids, right? Because we've done something, right? You yell at your kids and you snap and you just yell at them. And then you think, oh, we should not yelled. And then for the rest of that weekend and the month and the rest of the year, and actually for the rest of your life, you go back to that one single point where you yelled at your kids because you were tired because you've been traveling all day or whatever, right? Or, you know, you're stressed at work, or there's no money coming in, or whatever. You're stressed, and then you yell at your kids. Oh, and that right there's a prison sentence, isn't it? Because then you're guilty for the rest of your life. You do all this extra amazing stuff as mums and dads, right? And then because you yell at your kids once, because they've asked you the same question 25 times in a row, and you've told them no every time, and then you yell at your kids. Oh, in 3 years' time, you go back to that point where you yelled at your kid, and then you're the world's worst parent, and you forget about all this extra stuff. So look, if you've not done it yet, go find a parent, go tell them, you're an amazing dad, you're an amazing mother. Go up and tell them, because it just makes their world. I've had people, strangers, come up to me and they've gone, you're an amazing dad. And first of all, I get a bit angry, by the way, because I'm like, well, can you tell the family court that? Could you go tell the family court what an amazing dad I am? Because they think I'm an abuser, paedophile, sex offender, whatever, because that's what mum said, right? So You know, that's how it works in family court. I saw a post actually from 7 years ago that popped up. You know the memories bit on Facebook? And it was said from 7 years ago. And it was a post I put. And it was, I can't remember exactly word for word, but it says, wow, it's been 10 months since I've been allowed to have my children stay overnight. 10 months. All because mum said that I was verbally abusive towards the kids. I was like, are you kidding me? No evidence, nothing. We've gone through social workers, the whole kit and caboodle, 10 months before I was allowed to have my own children stay at night. I mean, it's just appalling, right? So it's really frustrating, but it's like, that's just part and parcel of being a dad, right? When you go through a separation, dads, if you're going to go through a separation, my advice is don't, because this is what you're going to get. So anyway, just bringing us all the way back, okay? Bringing us all the way back to money. A little rant there about the family court systems. Always good to get it off my chest. So what we're trying to do here is teach kids about money. And we're trying to teach grown-ups about money. And it annoys me. People go, oh, well, when I get some, then I'll do it. No. Do it now. Whatever money you're getting right now, plan it. So let's say you're saving £20 a month. We're back to that £20 a month. What can you do with £20 a month? And you go, well, I can't invest it. And it's like, well, can't you? Could you not invest it? You know, podcast 2 or 3, I think, talks about setting up a leafleting business. Could you not buy a domain name for 10 quid? We drop leaflets in Peterborough, let's just say. We buy leaflets Peterborough, right? And you set up a leaflet dropping business. And on Saturdays and Sundays, you organise other people to drop those leaflets, right? So go back and listen to podcast 2 or 3. You get 3 different companies all paying you 40 quid each to drop leaflets. You go find someone who you pay £40. So you're bringing in 120, you're paying out 40, you're making £80 a day. Awesome. All you've got to do is meet them in the morning, meet them in the afternoon to pick up the bags. Jobs are good, and 2 days a week, an extra £160 a month. That comes off that 20 quid, right? And you've only spent a tenner, you've got another £10 to print off some fancy leaflets, like 100 nice leaflets at a tenner, right? Or buy some ink for your printer and some A4 paper and go and print off some leaflets and flyers and walk into your pizza shop and get some business and bring some cash in. So I know it can be done because we've done it. I love starting businesses on a shoestring. I love it. I love spending money, like £10, creating a domain name and having that domain name earn or generate £1,000. Like, if you could do one of those, like we did this with domain names that we bought. We had hosting available. We put the domain name on the hosting and we populated the domain name. Let's just say Plasterers in Leeds. And we'd speak to Plasterers and we'd go, do you want a domain name? Plasterers in Leeds. It's like, you know, top level keyword. And people would buy it for 100 quid. I love stuff like that. £200, £300, £400. We'd sell websites like that. And that website would take maybe 3 or 4 hours to do. And this is one of the ways that we started to make money. So you can do it, right? But you got to get some money in order to make some money. You know that, you know, what happens when you've got money, more money just turns up, right? It's because your mentality's changed. And when you got no money, God, money just disappears. 50 quid's flying out your window, driving along in the car. Or you drop them, you pull them out of your pocket, and it drops down a drain, or you lose your keys. Or when you've got no money, everything happens all at once, doesn't it? But when you've got money, everything happens all at once. The universe is conspiring with whatever wavelength your brain is thinking at. So if you're thinking at, well, I've got no money, what's the point? Well, the universe is like, yeah, you're right, I'm going to lose your keys for you. But if you're thinking, I've got loads of money, even if you haven't, I've got loads of money and I feel really abundant with money, but guess what the universe is going to do? It's going to come and chuck more money at you and go, hey, have some more. Here's a great deal for you. Here's 400 quid for that website, that shit little website that you can't do anything with. I'll sell it for you for 400 quid. This is how it works. But you've got to start by getting a plan in place. And the plan in place that you've got to have is that spreadsheet. And we've done several podcasts about this. But I also know, having done several podcasts about this and had feedback from people, that you haven't bloody well done it yet. This is the beginning of wealth. If you don't know how much money you're spending every single month, right? Forget earning £100,000 a year or £500,000 a year because you won't know how much money you're spending. You're out buying Lambos and Ferraris and buying bigger houses and you don't know how much it all is coming to. And then at the end of the month, you know, you're doing, let's say, 120 grand, 12 grand a month, take away 4 grand for tax. If only, by the way, it was 4 grand. It's more like 6 grand. So let's take 6 grand away. Now you've got 6 grand left, but you're still spending 7 because you think you're really rich because you're doing 120 grand a year. Well, now you're in deficit. You're in the same shit as everybody else because you're not doing your bloody spreadsheet. It doesn't matter how much money you earn. It's irrelevant how much money you earn. You've got to get the money down on the spreadsheet. If you want to send them in to me, by the way, do. But it might take me a while to respond because we get a lot of emails coming in. We have a lot of listeners and so on, and I appreciate every single one of you. But send them in, and I'll take a look, and then I'll yell at you on email and go, "What are you spending money on this for? You've got £7 a month left. You've got Netflix at £8. You've got Kindle at £7. You've got this here, this like charity stuff. What are you giving away to charity for just yet when you've only got £7 left? I know it's all very good, but do that when you've got 700 quid left. And if you haven't got 700 quid left yet, start a business part-time so you're making 700 quid. So instead of giving away the 20 quid a month or 70 quid a month or whatever it is that you're giving away to that charity, earns an extra £1,000 a month and you can give £200 to charity. How would that improve, you know, your ability to give more?" But people do this straight off the cuff, and I get people and go, "Well, I'm going to start a business. We're going to give 50% of all profits to charity." As though giving it to charity in some way means karma will make their business work. It doesn't work like that. Take that 50%. Don't give it to charity yet. Put it back in your own pocket and spend it on marketing and generate more money from the business. And then when the business is doing £500,000, £1 million, £2 million, £10 million, £100 million, then you can start your own charity, right? Too many people go down that path far, far too quick. Like, listen, giving it to charity is really good, but not at the extent that you then become in need of a charity because you're not earning enough. Generate your business, make a lot of money, and then give back. And even better than giving money is giving your time, right, and your expertise. You know, if you're an accountant, a friend of mine runs a charity actually doing this. If you're an accountant, there's no point in you standing in a soup line handing out food, right? It might make you feel really good. But your accountancy, how much do you get paid an hour? 100 quid an hour? And you're doing an £8 or a minimum wage, actually, depending on how much minimum wage is when you're listening to this. But you're doing a minimum wage job, but you can invoice at £100 an hour. You should be doing the charity's accounts, not the handing out the soup. Like, I get that it makes you feel good, right? But the charity's having to go spend £500, £2,000 a year on accountancy fees. Why not go do it for them and save them £2,000? That's a lot better than you handing out soup. Does that make sense? But just bring it all the way back again. This is all about you saving money, about you having a plan. I want you to look at your spreadsheet and you go, "You know what, by June of next year, this credit card at £800, which I've had for the last 10 years, that'll be paid off." And if it's 20 quid a month that you're saving, okay, and you've got an £800 credit card, then you need to do the maths. That's 40 months, right? So it's in 3.5 years, you'll have that paid off. Now suddenly it turns into a game because you're like, "Oh my God, 3.5 years to pay off 800 quid. I can do better than that." And then you set up your little leafleting business, £100 a day. That's what you're earning. Let's just say free at £33 each, right? Now you're doing £200 in a weekend. Yeah, you got to work how many weekends? You got to work 8 weekends. That credit card is now paid off. So instead of taking 3.5 years, it's taking you 2 months, 8 weekends, working Saturday and Sunday. It's gone. It's done. This is how it works. And then you can give up that job if that's what you want to do. But that's a sacrifice that you need to make if you want to get rid of that. So then you see, let's say you're saving an extra £20 a month on that credit card because you're no longer having to pay for it. Now you're saving £40 a month. Now you can start to do more with that. But this is how it works, and it turns into what we call gamification. I'm always gamifying my spreadsheet because I like to see, we're spending a lot of money right now doing some refurbs on properties and bringing them up to scratch, and that's what we're doing. And actually, we're pretty skint now until March, right? Because we've made this decision, we've made this commitment to spend this money on refurbing properties and bring them all up, and that's fine. So now I'm like, okay, I don't really want to wait till March. And as you know, I've taken a sabbatical from coaching for now. Because I just needed some time off and get my health back, and I'm about to go to the gym and that sort of thing. But we took some time off. Now I'm looking at this and I'm going, well, actually, if I don't want to do that by March, could I finish that by December? Could I bring it forward 4 months? Then I'm thinking, what do I need to do? How much extra money do I need to bring in? So I'm like, maybe I bring in 2 coaching clients in, let's say, July, 1 in July, 1 in August, right? That'd be nice and easy. What would happen with the numbers? I can put those numbers in and run a what-if scenario and go, actually, I'm going to do that. Like, that's not the decision, by the way. But I could do that if that's what I decided to do, if I wanted to bring it forward. And by gamifying what we put on a spreadsheet, this is what will happen. You end up pulling up. All these debts get paid off far, far quicker because you're like, I want to go to the cinema tonight. me and a wife, but it's 10 quid each for a ticket, and then it's another 10 quid for popcorn and Coke. That's 40 quid. Or let's assume the £800 credit card bill, or I could put that 40 quid onto that credit card bill. That would mean I would pay the credit card bill off that a little bit quicker. Then you start having better quality conversations about money. And I get the, well, I work hard for it, I'm entitled to go to the cinema sort of thing. I get all that, right? So go to Morrison's, buy your popcorn for a quid, that's a quid each, that's £2. Go get the cheap Coke, that's a quid. Perfect. Get some ice, get some limes, get a fancy glass, that's that. Download a film, right? Or borrow a film, go on Facebook, who's got this film, I want to watch it, and go borrow one. Or rent one, download it from Amazon Prime or whatever, right? Or if you've got Netflix, fine. Watch a film on Netflix, one that you both want to watch. Or do something different. Instead of going out for a fancy meal in a restaurant, which is going to be like 30 quid a head, so that's another 60 quid. So that in a month, by the way, that's £100 you've just saved. So that £800 that was going to take you 3.5 years, you've just cut £100 off that. That's amazing, right? From the 20 quid a month that you were saving. Like, this is how you're supposed to be thinking. No one's ever taught you this. No one's ever gone through money. Because money's such a taboo subject. It's just bizarre. No one talks about money anymore. Not anymore. No one ever talked about money. Because it's like, oh, we don't talk about money in our house. Oh, no. It's like wills. Oh, don't talk to me about a will. Oh, no, I don't want to contemplate it happening. But what if it happens? Oh, no. That's my old granny voice, by the way. Oh, no, don't talk to me about passing money to me. Oh, no. But what if I die in a car crash? Oh, don't talk like that. That's my impression. It's pretty good, isn't it? That's my gran. Bless her, who's no longer with us. But anytime we speak about anything like that, well, we couldn't talk about it. And it drove me insane. And now, everybody knows where my will is. It's with my solicitor. Everybody knows that. And if something happens to me, because I fly a lot, which incidentally is the safest form of flying, right? But if something happens, there's a plan in place. There's a plan. That's it. Bottom line. I'm off to the gym after this, as I've mentioned, and I really cannot be bothered, right? But I want to lose a bit more weight. I want to lose another inch. I've been off for 2 months because I've had a wrist injury. I woke up with a suspected broken wrist, just bizarre, and I've not been, and by the way, it's taken me an hour to pack my bag to go to the gym this morning. I really don't want to go, okay? But plan. I've got 4 days this week to go to the gym, today, tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, and that's it. And then I'm flying over for kids weekend, I then get back on Tuesday. I've only got certain number of days available to actually go and go to the gym. Now, interestingly, I've just pressed pause there. You didn't know it because you wouldn't do, because I literally paused the recording. I've just gone and checked my calendar. I've actually got, because it's school holidays at the end of July, right? So we're flying over to England for a week. And my gym's in Spain, right? And then we've got all three kids for the week, right? So there's no gym, basically. That's what I'm saying. So I've just had a quick look. And do you know what? I've got 10 days worth of gym. Literally. It's only the third today. I've just checked my calendar. And I've got 10 days of gym. That's it. Wow. I've got to absolutely make sure I get the best available workout in those 10 days. So out of the 31 days. Out of 28 days left in July, I've got 10 available to go to the gym. So, like, me planning ahead, if I don't go to the gym today, I've got 9 days. Like, I've lost a tenth. I've lost 10% of my gymming ability, right? This is really important for you to understand. It's all about a plan. It's always about a plan. If I don't plan ahead for my weight loss, it's not happening, folks. If I don't plan ahead for my money and where I'm going to invest and what spare money I've got available to invest, that's not going to happen. If I don't plan ahead for something good to happen in my relationship in 6 months' time, let's say a trip away, a holiday. We just got back from Disneyland. We had that booked from last year. Like, we talked about it and then we booked it earlier this year. But we had it planned from last year, right? So the further in advance that you can plan stuff, the better off you're going to be in whatever area that's going to be, right? So, like, I'm losing, what have we lost? In, I don't know, 4 months, I think we lost about 4 inches. So an inch a month, am I happy with that? Of course I'm not. It should be 15 inches in a month off my waist, right? It's impossible to do. I'd be like invisible. But an inch a month isn't enough, right? That's what we think. 20 quid a month isn't enough. But when you save up that money and you lose the inch month in, month out, over the next 12 months, right? Actually, that's really good. I've only got, what am I? I've got another, probably another 6 inches that I'd like to lose. So, like, would I be really happy if I lost that weight by December? Of course I bloody well would. I've carried this weight for 7 or 8 years. And I blame cortisol through stress and family court, by the way. That's why I put weight on. Not donuts and pizza and coke and moving to Spain and all that gorgeous food. No, 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 no. It's stress from family court and cortisol. It goes on men's tummies, you see. We're apple-shaped. So, yeah, that's definitely it. That's sarcasm, by the way. So, look, plan, plan, plan. That's the key. Plan your money. Get your spreadsheet. Plan. Even if you've got none. And if you're in negative, even more of a reason. Because you're to gamify, you know, if you're in negative 50 quid, what are you going to cut out so that you're no longer in negative? Because if you're negative 50 quid, in 12 months from now, you're minus 600 quid on a credit card somewhere. Whereas, actually, if you can get that down to zero, you're at zero in 12 months still. That's a lot better than being minus 600. And then if you can find a way to generate an extra 50 quid, you're actually 600 quid up next year. Like, I know it takes a long time when you're first getting started, but in 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years, you look back at now and you go, God, I'm so glad I did that. That planning malarkey. Oh my God, that works really well. I'm slim. I've got a good relationship. I've got more money than I've ever had. I've got spare money. I don't go out spending money on crap I don't need anymore that I used to do to make me feel better. That's amazing, right? Imagine that in 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years. Wherever you are right now, whatever your starting point is right now, you can get there. But it's about planning ahead. Nobody plans 20 years in advance. We're all planning for next month. We're planning till the end, the last working day of the month until we get our salary. That's what we're planning for. And then the salary comes in, and it's like, if you imagine a big bath, and the taps are on full, right? That's your income coming in. And right now, for many people, it's just going straight down the plug hole, doesn't even touch the sides. You've got no savings. Your savings is the bath being filled up, right? None of that. Your money comes in on the last day of working day of the month, and it goes out, and by the first, you're back to skint again. What's that, Bask? Nowhere to live. That's not a life. You're not put on a planet to pay bills and die. That's crazy. Why would you do that? And it all comes from planning. Look, drop me a message. Let me know that you're starting to plan. Finally, please let me know that you're starting to plan. All right, I better go to the gym because I've got 10 days worth of gymming, and it's taken me an hour to pack my bag because I really don't want to go because I've not been for 2 months. I'm so out of routine in going to the gym, right? So drop me a line. Let me know how your planning's going. I hope this podcast is the podcast that you go, fuck it, I'm going to plan. I'm going to do what Dan says, and I'm going to start planning because my life is worth more than just getting up, going to work, and coming home, eat shit, sleep. That's it. My life is worth more than that, but I can only do more than that when I start planning. All right, give me some feedback, folks, and we'll speak to you on the next one. My name's Dan Latto. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.